Yeah, see, every time Bracken reads, I imagine myself as Will and Carrie as little kids, listening to him reading Dr. Seuss or something, and it's just captivating. So we're going to go, not with what I planned, but what he read, as usual. That's why I always wait to hear what Bracken's going to read before I do this. Let me read these verses, a little bit of them again. John says in John the Baptist says in verse 16 of Luke 3, John answered and said to them, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. And he himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand to clean out his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So you have to remember, John's message was what? Repent. And the word was repent was about preparing the way for the Lord. That's what repentance always does. It makes a way for a fresh manifestation, an increase of experience of the presence of the Lord in our lives. And repentance, we usually think of repentance, and a lot of people avoid it because we think of like tent meeting, Bible thumpers, people making you feel guilty. But ultimately repentance is just a trade up that God gives us. He even refers to it in Acts as the gift of repentance. The opportunity to trade up the junk we're settling for the all that he has for us. And in this scripture, when he describes that about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire, the fire part is not about judgment. Because he's talking about what happens to persons, a baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. And then some people think, well, that's about us having passion for the Lord. But if you read through this scripture and then you read down in the baptism of Jesus, I believe the fire here is talking about the unquenchable love of God. It's the kindness of God that draws people to repentance, not the threats of God, not judgment. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when he says his winnowing fork is in his hand to clean out the threshing floor, to gather the wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, when you get a winnowing fork, and you're on the threshing floor, and you throw up the grain, that which is heavier falls to the ground. And so the chaff is separated from the wheat. Chaff meaning those things in our lives that rival our wholeheartedness for him, that rival our complete surrender and our walk towards him, that rival him as being our first love. And so he says, what's happening is that when you're baptized in the Spirit, it's a baptism in the Spirit and fire. And it's the unquenchable fire of God's love that separates the chaff from the wheat. That's what happened to Didymus, the thief on the cross, who along with the other thief mocked Jesus until there came a point when Didymus said, "Lord, remember me this day in your kingdom." One, he acknowledged him as a Lord. Two, acknowledged that he had kingdom. He recognized him as the Messiah. Yet, during that day, he had been mocking Jesus over and over again. Why is that? What happened? Well, Luke records the fact that Jesus said those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And it's in the imperative, which means it was something he was saying again and again. Not just on the cross, but with every blow, with every strike, with every mocking word, he was muttering those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And in the end, ultimately, I believe Didymus heard that one time too many. And he stopped and thought, this can't be like a normal person. Who could do that? The things we've said, the things they've done to him, who could keep saying that? Only the Messiah. Only one who carries the love of God. And it transformed him. It was the unquenchable fire of God. And in my life, it's the relentless love of God that keeps pursuing me again and again that draws me to repentance, not threats. Because threats and guilt will motivate you to do really well until you stop feeling so guilty, then you'll start doing the stuff again. When the feelings of horrible guilt go away, you just start doing it again. But God's love brings us to our knees. God's love calls us to fall down on our face before Him. And the reason I'm even more convinced that that's what this is about is if you look down, same context, Holy Spirit doesn't do anything arbitrarily. Everything has a sequence. Everything has a purpose. And He goes down and describes the baptism of Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, His as the Son of Man, baptism in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven saying, what? Thou art my beloved Son, and in Him I'm well pleased. That's baptism in the Spirit. Not only is there a release of power, but there is an affirmation, because the Holy Spirit makes everything real in us. There's an affirmation of, you're my beloved son or daughter in whom I'm well pleased. And this was before Jesus did one thing in ministry. He had not done one thing, not healed one person. See, it's hard for us to imagine, because of our imperfections, God could be pleased with us. He may not be pleased with your behavior, but God doesn't wait for us to grow up and mature and become perfect to celebrate us and to enjoy us. And you see the context here? Jesus modeled what that means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit came upon Him, and the fire was the Father saying, you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That was really important, because when He went out into the wilderness, which was the next thing to happen to Him, the power of the Holy Spirit had been released in His life, and the ringing in His ears, as the Son of Man, I'm His beloved Son, in whom He's well pleased. This isn't because I've done something wrong, or because something's wrong with me, which is imperative if we're going to walk through times where the enemy tests us. Amen? And so, when He says, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, the Scripture tells us in Romans 8, by the Holy Spirit, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So when the Holy Spirit fills us, He doesn't just fill us with power, release the power of God in our lives. He also releases a personal revelation that I'm in Christ. I'm beloved. And it's the most intense love I've ever known. It's unquenchable. I can't put it out. It says in Song of Solomon that His fire for us, His love for us is like a vehement flame, and many waters can't quench it. And it's that love for us that transforms us. That's the thing, the winnowing fork, that separates the wheat from the chaff, is God's relentless love for us. Because God wants us to give up things that rival Him because we want to, not because we're scared not to. That's what love is like. Amen? And so I just pray that all of you who've been baptized in the Spirit, that you'll hear that voice that says, not only has the power of God been released in your life, but you're part of the Beloved. You are the Beloved. And that's an unquenchable love. Nothing you can do to make Him stop. Nothing you can do to make Him love you more. I've known a lot of people who've been, quote, baptized with the Holy Spirit, but didn't really have a clue about God's personal love. And they walk around with a sense of self-rejection, fearing rejection all the time. And God meant to heal that at the beginning, because He knows how vulnerable that makes us to the enemy in so many ways. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, this would be a great day for it. So if you come down here at this altar rail, if you need prayer for healing, we'll pray for you. But if you also would like to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire of God's love, then we'll pray for you for that to happen. And it will, of course, happen. As a matter of fact, it happened the day you were born again. But we want it to be actualized in your experience if you've never actualized it. Because people will say sometimes, I don't know if I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire or not. That's like going, I don't know if I've been hit by a Mack truck or not. I'm just not sure. You know. It happened in your new birth, but if you haven't experienced it, then if you don't know if you've experienced it, then you have it. All righty. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.